daf for today's daf lamed. We're going to start on the bottom of Chavtes Amid Beis, two lines up from the bottom. Omer Abaye, Omer Abaye, who parsoi have ruba di alba. We just finished saying that there are two categories of food. There's food that's eaten alone, almost as a main course, and then there's food that's kedei lelafos boas hapas. It's kind of like a side dish together with a main meal of bread. And if the food is eaten alone, then you need a larger volume in order to have mazon shtei sudos for a valid eruv. If, on the other hand, it's eaten lelafos boas hapas, then you could allow for a smaller volume. And Rav Yosef said that the shear of basar tzli, if you have roast meat, is how much meat would you eat, what volume, for two different sudos, if you were eating the meat alone. And the Gemara thinks that that's not really so. Meat, even roasted meat, is eaten together with bread as part of a main meal. So it's not the main course, but it's part of a larger meal. And therefore, it would require a smaller volume. And Rav Yossi defended himself by saying that the parsoim, they would eat roast meat without bread. And therefore, we require a larger shear and a larger volume in order to have a kosher eruv. So Abaye rejects this, and he says, just because the parsoim have their minog, and they will eat basar tzli without bread, so therefore their rov ha'olam, can they determine what the shear should be for an eruv of basar tzli sus for the world? Okay, so that's how they do it in Persia. What does that have to do with us? Vasnan, and I'll prove this to you, that we can take a smaller shear, despite the fact that the parsoim will have a larger volume, and we represent the rest of the world. We're not bound by what they do in Persia. And this is going to be based on a Mishnah with regard to Tumah V'Tahara, and specifically the shear of a cloth for Kabbalah's Tumah. The minimum shear of a cloth, the size of a cloth, the Mishnah says, or perhaps it's a Braisa, Big Day Aniyim, if this cloth is owned by poor people, so for them, even if you have something as small as Sholosh al Sholosh Etzba'os, that size, which is a tiny piece of cloth, maybe they would use it as a patch over a ripped pair of pants or so, but that's Chosha for them, and it's considered a Beged. Once it has a shame Beged, it's Mekabel Tumah. And that's called Big Day Aniyim L'Aniyim. But Big Day Ashirim, as far as the wealthy people are concerned, or we'll call them the middle class, then they need a larger piece of cloth to be considered something as a Beged. They will need what's called Shlosh al Shlosh Tfachim, which is much larger, obviously, than Shlosh al Shlosh Etzbos. And Big Day Ashirim L'Ashirim. And now we start the daf for today, daf Lamed Omer Aleph. Avol Big Day Ashirim L'Aniyim Lo. In other words, if you have begotten that are in the possession of the Aniyim, so they don't have to have that shear that's Choshev of Gimel Gimel Tfachim, that would be Choshev for Ashirim, but rather they can have a smaller shear, and that would be Makabel Tumah, Gimel Gimel Etzbos, based on the fact that that's what they consider Choshev. It's not that because of the Ashirim, we're going to say that a Beged that's only Gimel Gimel Etzbos for an Ani is not considered a Beged. So we see that we can pick up the smaller shear, even if elsewhere, and relative to another group of people, that shear would not be significant enough. And therefore, likewise, in the case of meat, roasted meat, we can take the smaller shear for the rest of the countries of the world, excluding Bavel, where they eat meat as lelafos boas hapas, as part of a larger meal, and that would be enough to consider it shtei mazon shtei sudos, even though, again, for the Persians, that would not be enough. So we could take the smaller shear for that group of people, and we don't have to jack up the shear based on what they do elsewhere or what's relevant to another group of people. The Chitam, the Gemara says, now maybe this shear of a Beged Letumah is not a stira. It doesn't undermine Rav Yosef's position because Hachal Chumrah v'Hachal Chumrah. Maybe we're always going to go L'Chumrah. With regard to Kabbalah's Tumah, we're going to be Machmir on the Ani, and if he has in his possession a Beged that has a cloth of a shear of Gimel or Gimel Atzmos, that's Makabal Tumah. On the other hand, as far as Erev is concerned, in the case of Basa Tzli, so we're going to apply the principle L'Chumrah, and we're going to say that in the case of meat, then if you set up an Erev with roasted meat, the Rov HaOlam, and we said before that the Rov HaOlam will eat their meat as part of a larger meal, and here we have to go L'Chumrah, and we have to say, let's jack up the volume, the minimum volume necessary for Mosen Shtei Sudas for a valid Erev. So the Gemara rejects this. Vatanya, we have a brisa that says, Rav Shimon Allah Zomim, Ma'arvim L'chole U'lezaken K'dei Mizono. If a person who is ill, or an older person who has a minimum volume of food that he eats, and he wants to set up an Erev, Rav Shimon says his Erev is valid, even K'dei Mizono. Even though for you and I, that might not be enough of a food to constitute shtei sudos, but nevertheless, we don't need a sheer gadol. All we need is what's relative to this person. So you see that we apply a smaller sheer and a smaller volume that's valid for a mazon shtei sudos for an eruv, even lakula. And this is a kula in the case of chol and zaken. Ularavton, now somebody who is gluttonous and he constantly eats, he's not happy with what for us, for you and I, would be a mazon shtei sudos. He wants to eat more than that. Nevertheless, besuda beinin ishal kol adam. All we need is an eruv that has the volume of shtei sudos that would satisfy you and I, even though it wouldn't satisfy this person who is described as a Ravton. So we see we're always going Lakula. We're going Lakula, and we're validating a smaller volume for a Chol and a Zaken. We're going Lakula, we're saying that the Ravton is categorized Kishir Suda Beinonis Shel Kol Adam. And therefore, we should go Lakula in the case of Basat Sli. In other words, we have a Kasha now, and the Gemara blives with the Kasha, according to, why does Rav Yosef say that in the case of Basa Tzli, we're going to determine and require a larger shear, and the reason for that is because the Parsium will eat meat without a Suda, without bread, as a separate independent main course, and therefore we have to jack up the volume? No. We could be Mekil because we're the rest of the world. We don't have to accept that higher standard and the larger volume for an Eruv of the Parsim. And we've seen this in the cases of Chole, Zaken, and Ravton. So the Gemara ends up with Kasha, that we really don't have an answer to defend Rav Yosef's position based on the Bavlim, but rather we're going to say that in Bavel, there they need a higher volume, a larger volume for a Kasher Eruv, but in the rest of the world, a smaller volume will suffice. Now, Abaye quoted Rav Shimon ben Elazar as saying that in the case of a Ravton, he can get away with a smaller volume, a shear of shtei sudos shel adam beinoni. So the Gemara now is going to raise a contradiction from another statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Umi Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Hachi. Can Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar maintain a consistent view that even a Ravton, we're going to let him get away with a smaller volume, which would not satisfy him, but would satisfy your average person? Vasanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. And now we're talking about what's called Tumas Ohel. In the case of a mess. If you have a mess inside an ohel, and there are other mekalim that are under the same ohel, then they all contract tumah. And that's in the Torah in Bamidbar Perek Yutes. And in a case where the corpse is found inside a room, and we're not sure about the kalim, for example, that are underneath the opening, the entranceway, maybe there are many, many entranceways into this ohel. It's Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, Og melech haboshem pischo kimoloo. Normally, a Pesach is considered a Pesach, and it would be considered the exit from this room where the corpse is found, and therefore any kalim in that Pesach would contract tumah, as long as the Pesach has a shear of dalid al dalid tfachin. But in the case of Og Melech HaBashan, where you're dealing with a corpse of a humongous size, and there are a number of different psachim, then a Pesach that has 4x4 tefachim is certainly not large enough for the mess to be taken out through that Pesach. So we have a principle in Olos called Sof Tuma Lotzes, and that which is in the Pesach contracts Tuma because the Tuma, the corpse, is going to go through and exit through that entrance, through that Shar, that Pesach. But in the case of Shema, of Og Melech HaBashan, then we don't have Sof Tuma Lotzes, and therefore the psachim that are only 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim will not contract tumah. But if we have one particular Pesach that is a very large opening, such that the goof, the body of this giant, can go through that Pesach, then that Pesach contracts tumah. But the other psachim that are relatively smaller, even though they have the shear of dalet al dalet tfachim, do not contract tumah. And if all the psachim are very small, then they're all tmeim, because then we can never guess which one they're going to decide to expand and enlarge in order to let the mess go out. So that's a case where we really don't know which Pesach is going to ultimately be the Pesach that the mess is going to be taken out of. In such a case, all the psachim contract tumah. However, everything is relative to the size of the corpse, kefimi daso, as we say. And we're not going to use an Adam Beinoni and say that, well, a Pesach of Arba Tfachim is enough for an Adam Beinoni. No. In the case of Og Melech HaBashan, the Pesach of Arba Tfachim will not contract Tumah because it all depends on Godel Midaso. So why is it that as far as Erev is concerned, Rav Shimon Elazar says that even the Ravtan, who lefi gadla, meaning according to the amount of volume that it takes to satiate him, we're going to be Meshayah with Mozen Shtei Sudos of Shire B'nei Adam, of the average person. How do we reconcile this? Sabai says that there's no analogy. It's not a fair analogy. Hasam, in the case of Pesach Oel HaMes, we're not going to be Meshayah lefi Adam Beinoni, because Hechi Navid, how are we going to get the mess out of a Pesach that's only 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide? And Abai says something very cynical here. He says, Hadome nahadme venafke? You know, shall we take an axe and cut up his body, the corpse? I mean, that would be nivel ames. That would certainly not be acceptable. For sure, we have to choose that Pesach which is most suitable for the size of the mess. And if we don't have such a Pesach that's large enough and wide enough for the corpse of this giant, then we know that in the future, we're not going to chop up the mess, we're going to have to widen the opening. So which opening is the best candidate to assume that Sof Tuma Lotze is that we're going to take the corpse out there? But in the case of Eruv, there we're not going to be Mashiach, we're not going to evaluate it based on the Ravton, the way that he would eat it, because he's different than everyone else. We have a principle called Batal Daita Tzakalana. And just because this individual, as a very unique kind of person, is in a category of a Ravton, that's not going to establish a new shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos. In the case of mess, we have no choice because we had to get the mess out through the Pesach. Ibailu, the Gemara now, once it touches on Rav Shimon Elazar's Shita and the Pesach of Mess with the case of Og Melcha Bashan, the Gemara has a suffix, Pligi Rabbanan Alei the Rav Shimon Elazar, oh lo. Did the Rabbanan reject Rav Shimon Elazar? They hold that if you have a shear of a Pesach of Arba Tfachim, then that's going to be Tomei even in the case of Og Melcha Bashan. And other Pesachim, which are smaller than that shear, would be Tahorim. And in that sense, Poligalei Rabbanan L'Rav Shimon ben Elazar. And basically, we're always going to take that set uniform shear. That means if you have a Pesach that's four Tfachim by four Tfachim, that will become Tomei. Any Pesachim that are less than four Tfachim will be remain Tahar. Although, what should we say? No, the Rabbanan, they don't go on record as dissenting the view of Rav Shimon Elazar, and if we assume they agree, Toshma, we're going to quote Rabbi Yochanan. Diyama Rabbi Barachan Omer Rabbi Yochanan Og Melcha Boshan, who died, and his body is in a corpse, and there are a number of different exits from the Ohel. He has the same din as Shar Mesim Upischo Barba, and everything depends upon whether you have a Pesach of Arba. And if you have a Pesach that has the shear of Arba, Arba Tfachim, that becomes Tomei. If you have other Pesachim that are smaller, they remain Tahar. But we see explicitly that Chachamim rejected the Shita of Rav Shimon Elazar, because Rav Shimon Elazar would never say that Pischo be Arba, that if you have 4x4 Tfachim, that Pesach is automatically Tomei. No, it would depend upon whether or not there are larger Pesachim, in the case of Og Melcha Bashan, where we can take out the mess. And the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says that you cannot prove from Rabbi Yochanan's statement with regard to Og Melcha Boshan and Pischa Abba that the Rabbanan rejected the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. De'ika Hasam de'ika Psachim Ketanim Tuva V'ika Chad Avi Arba. The case that Rabbi Yochanan is addressing is a case where, and the ruling reflects even the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, because there are many smaller Pesachim, and they are less than Arba Tfachim. There's one Pesach that's Arba Tfachim. Relative to the other Pesachim, it is the most likely candidate for Harchava. Devadei Kiko Marvach, when they'll widen a Pesach, Bahuko Marvach. That's the Pesach they'll choose to widen. You know, they'll have to break down some of the plaster on this side and on that side to allow taking the body of Og Melcha Bashan out, so that amongst the various Pesachim, the one that's four Tfachim, and that's the only one that's four Tfachim wide, is the most likely candidate for Harchava. And therefore, when we saw in Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he says that Og Melcha Bashan is Pischo Kimiluo, that's in a case where all the Pesachim are very large, they're all greater than four Tfachim, and then the din is that we look for that Pesach which is large enough to bring the corpse, Kimidoso Shel Og, out of that Pesach. But if, on the other hand, all the Pesachim are of the same size, then all the Pesachim are Tmeim. Or alternatively, if you have one Pesach that's 4x4 Tfachim, and the others are less than 4x Tfachim, then Rabbi Shimon Elazar would agree that the Pesach, that singular Pesach, which is 4x4 Tfachim, is Tamei. And the reason for that is because that's the most likely candidate for Harchava. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav Ma'arvim b'basar chai. We can set up an Erev with raw meat. Now, you and I would have said, who's going to eat raw meat? But the Gemara already explained back on Daf Chav Tesam Beis that if you salt the meat heavily, you can soften it to the point where you could eat the meat. It's edible, and therefore it's valid for an Erev. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiyo, Ma'arvim v'beitzim chayos. You can use raw eggs. Even raw eggs can be eaten. Like Rocky. V'kama, and how large of a volume do we need for a beitza that hasn't been cooked? It's a raw egg. And it will somehow accompany the pas in two sudos. Now here we have a girsa issue. According to one girsa, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Achas, meaning one egg is enough. So you'll crack an egg, half which you use for one suda, lafos zapas, and the other half for the other suda. But the Marshal already takes out the word achas. And Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak is really quoting Sinai. Sinai is an acronym for Rav Yosef. He was an Oker Horim and a Sinai. Omar Shtaim, you need two eggs, meaning each Suda needs one raw egg. Lilafos bosapas. The Mishnah says, Hanodim and Amozim utabimayim ubimelach. If a person takes a neder, enjoining himself from eating mazon, that means something that will be mazon, that will add calories to his body, then water and salt are excluded from that neder. He's allowed to eat water and salt. So the Gemara's medayik melach umayim hudalo ikri mazon. Are you telling me that there are only two substances on the face of the earth which are not called mazon, or called mili ikri mazon, everything else is considered mazon and is included in the iser neder of anodim and amazon? This would be a knockout punch for Rav and Shmuel. The Rav and Shmuel, the Amish Ravayu, Ein Mevarchim Borei Minim Mezonos. The word mazon is only appropriate ala chameshes minim bilvad, only on the five species of grains, which means chita, siora, kusmin, shibolashuel, and shifon. Anything else besides that is not called mazon. That's the shita of Rav and Shmuel. From the Mishnah, it would seem that everything is considered mazon with the exception of mayim umelach. Velos vini chara zimna. So the Gemara says that in Masechta Brachos, on Daf Lamed Zayin, we already upschlugged Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, lematevi tuvteyu nami miha. Let's add another objection to Rav and Shmuel from our Mishnah. Now, Rav Huna is going to come and reconcile our Mishnah with Rav and Shmuel by fixing up our understanding of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Huna, what's the case in our Mishnah when he declares Kona Mazon a lie? Is be Omer Kol Azon a lie? In other words, if he says Kona Mazon a lie, that's when Rav and Shmuel would agree that's exclusively applicable to the five species of grains. But if, on the other hand, in the case of our Mishnah, we're talking about a person who says not Kona Mazon a lie, but Kol Hazon a lie. And Kol Hazon a lie is already a broader scope than Mazon. Mazon is a word that, according to Rav and Shmuel, is dedicated exclusively for the five species of grains. But zonalai means anything beyond the five species of grains, even though, again, it doesn't have that special status of mazon, which only applies, according to Rav and Shmuel, to the five species of grains because they are what's called soed es halev. And other foods are not soed as halev, and they're not considered mazon, but yes, they're hazon. Hazon meaning they add some sort of satiation, although they're not on that high madrig of soed as halev. So we have three different levels. We have something that's soed as halev. Rabbi Shmuel identifies that as the five species of grains, and they get a bori mina mezonos. Then we have one step lower, which is something that is zon, but it's not mazon, meaning it's not soides alev, but it's masbia saguf. It adds calories to the body. And then you have the third level, which is mayim and melach. So if he had taken a nether of kona mazon alive, then according to Rabbi Shmuel, he would allow to eat anything except for the five seeds of grains. If he took a nether and he said kol hazon alive, that includes anything that's masbia, even though it's not soides alev. And that would include all foodstuffs on the face of the earth, with the exception of mayim umelach, because they don't add any substance to the body. The Gemara asks, mayim umelach, hu delo zayni? Ha kol mili zayni? Are you saying that all food will add to the body and give you a satiation, with the only exceptions of mayim umelach? That can't be true. Va'omar Rabbi Barachana Kiavi Azilna Basreid Rabbi Yochanan, when I was walking behind Rabbi Yochanan together with the Talmidim, LeMechal Peri de Ginosar, and we're eating the famous peros that came from the Yam Kineret area in the north. They were very sweet fruits. Kiavina Be Mea, if we were 100 Talmidim, Havi Mankintinon, L'chol Chad V'chad Asora, each one of us would carry for Rabbi Yochanan 10 such fruits. They were very large fruits. And the maximum they could carry would be 10. So you're left with 10 times 100, which is 1,000. Ki avina be'asar, if we were only 10 talmidim escorting Rabbi Yochanan, avi mankina l'kol chad v'chad mea mea. Each one of the 10 would be carrying 100 peros, which would require a gigantic barrel or wagon of some sort, so that we could get 100 times 10 and supply Rabbi Yochanan with 1,000 peros. V'chol mea minayu lo havi machzik lu tzana bas tlosa save. The peros were so large that all 100 of them, it wasn't enough to have a basket that had the volume of 3 sa'in in order to hold on to these fruits. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan havi ochel lehu lekula. Rabbi Yochanan would eat all these fruits, 1,000 fruits from peros kinosar. And again, the Mefarshim have a long discussion here about a Gemara later on that says that Machol Shal Kol Adam Asiris Ha'Eifa Liyom, an Eifa Shal Soim, Asiris Eifa Shlish Sa. How could it be that Rabbi Yochanan was eating so much? And also we have very negative, pejorative statements describing a Ravton, a gluttonous person. So this has to be taken under advisement, exactly what Rabbi Yochanan was doing over here. But in any event, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, after he ate the thousand peros, he made a declaration, Shu Asa, I swear to you, to lo toim li ziyuna, that I'm not satiated. So we see that even fruits, for example, peros gnosar, do not satiate a person. And yet we just finished saying that as far as a person who takes a shvua, a neder of kol hazon alai, everything is zan, everything satiates you with the exception of my memela. So my answer is ema mizona. We're going to have to reinterpret Rabbi Yochanan's statement when he took a shvua that he didn't taste anything that's mazin. Ziyuna means mazin, but instead of the word ziyuna, which is mazin, which gives you a sense of satiation, Dovra Mazin will plug in the word mizona. And mizona means soed es halev. And Rabbi Yochanan said, despite the fact that he ate 1,000 peres genosar, he wasn't soed es halev, because soed es halev, as we said before, the name of Rav and Shmuel, is only the 5 species of grains. Rav. Now we're talking about an eruv in a case of foodstuff, which a person prohibited upon himself with the shvua neder. So Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, if he took a shvua shalo ochal kikar zu, which means that he specified his shvua and limited it to achila, is ma'arvin lo ba. Then even though he can't eat that kikar because he's enjoined from that kikar by virtue of his shvua, but nevertheless, other people could eat it, and therefore it's a kosher eruv. But if he says kikar zo alai, which means an all-encompassing prohibition, he left out the word achila, then the all-encompassing prohibition of kikar zo alai includes even hana. He won't get any benefit from this kikar. Is ein ma'arvin lo ba, because the eruv is not on something that he could benefit from, and not only that, he would violate the Isra Noah if he set up an Eruv with this kikar that he enjoined himself from enjoying any sort of benefit. Meisve, the Gemara rejects Rav Huna based on a Brisa. So the Brisa says, I know there mina kikar ma'arvin lo ba. A person took a neder from a kikar and he can still use that kikar as a valid Eruv. My love, doesn't it mean so that means that even though he said the word kikar zu alai, he didn't specify achila, we nevertheless assume that he meant achila and only achila, and he did not extend and encompass an isra noah in his isur shvua or his neder. So we see that even the language of alai is indicative of what we call the ikar anoah. The ikar anoah, the main primary anoah, is achila. And it doesn't include Anna. And therefore, in the case of a lie, nevertheless, that kikar is still valid for an Erev, and that's against Rav Huna. Mar says, lo, when the Braisa says kikar zuteyoser a lie, it's not talking about a case of a lie, but rather the Omar shvua shelo ochal kikar zo. And again, he specifies the word achila, excluding anna, but if any, according to Rav Huna, as we saw earlier, if he would say a lie, that would include even anna, and therefore would be invalid for an Erev. Hachidam mistabra, the Katani Seifa, in the very Seifa of that Brisa, it says, Amosai, when do we say that a person who took a neder from a kikar, he can use that kikar nevertheless as a valid Erev, bisman shomer shvua shelo at amena, when he took a shvua specifically that he won't eat it. And if he said he won't eat it, since he explicated that his prohibition of shvua includes achila but nothing beyond achila, therefore the Erev is valid, there's no isra anah. But if he said a lie, then Rav Huna is correct, and a lie would include even anah, and therefore invalidate the Erev. The Gemara asks a question and raises an objection from the Braisa. It says, Aval Omar Alai. In other words, the implication of what you're telling me, again, according to Rav Huna, just to review, is that if he had said, Kikar Zuti Asra Alai Mai, Hachi Navidim Arval Oba, it would include even Anah, and therefore the Erev would be invalid. Hachi Adetani. When the Braisa says, you know, in what case would the neder preclude a valid Eruv? Only in the case of Kikerzu Hegdesh. Once you establish that the Kiker is Hegdesh, you're not allowed to have any benefit from Hegdesh. Hegdesh is also about Noah. Is Eim Arvin Lo Ba? Lefisha Eim Arvin Be Hegdeshos. Since Hegdeshos are also about Noah, you cannot set up an Eruv with Hegdesh. Why did the Bryce have to stretch his arm out to the case of a Kikar Shel Hegdesh in order to invalidate the Eruv? Even in a Kikar Shel Chulin, which is not Hegdesh, it could have said, Bamedra Murim, when do we say that the Shvu Shel Ochal Kikar Zu does not undermine the Eruv because he specifically limited his Shvua to an Isra Achilavol Omar? But if he was said a lie based on Rav Huna, then the Braisa should have said, Ema Arvalo Ba. Why did the Braisa mention the case of a lie, which includes even an Isra Hanah, and invalidates therefore the Erev? Why did the Braisa have to go out to the case of Ekdeshos? Amalcha Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, in answer to this question, Elamai, what is the intention of this Braisa? According to the Makshan, according to the one who's objecting, Kol Hechad Yomer Alai, Me'arvin, you want to say that if he said a lie, for example, he said kikar zuteyos or a lie, then you can set up an Erev with that kikar because he's not including achila, is kasha reisha. The reisha in the Braisa says, a masai ma'arvin lo bob is man shom shvush lo at et amena. If he specifies that he won't eat the kikar, then he can use it for an Erev because he's not prohibiting himself from anah. But if he would have said kikazu a lie, then ein ma'arvin ba. So Gemara says that's not a kasha b'kfi surei mechzav afiktani. We should rewrite the brice, or rewrite the text of the brice by adding a line. And let's read it this way: I know demen a kikar ma'arvin lo ba. Vafilu omar a lie nasika omer shvua shalat amena. No, it's whether he takes a neder on the kikar and he says that shvua shelo ochal kikar zu, or he says kikar zu te'aser olai. In both cases, his intention is to restrict the scope of the neder to achila, and it's ka'omer, it's as if he had said explicitly shvua shelo at et amena. And again, this would defend the brice according to those who dissent and reject Rav Huna, because makom kashal Rav Huna, and we're left with a kash from the Brice on Rav Huna, because according to Rav Huna, if he said kikar zu teoser alai, it would not be a good eruv because it's also by no. And the Brice seems to indicate clearly that if he uses a lashon hegdesh, and he's magdish the kikar, only then does that disqualify the Eruv? Whereas according to Rav Huna, even in the case of Kikar Zutei Aser Alai, the Eruv would be disqualified. So Gemara answers, Hu Diomar K'Rabbi Eliezer, Enochinami, that Brisa does contradict Rav Huna, and therefore it stretches its arm out all the way to Hegdesh. But Rav Huna stands on the shoulders of another Tana, and that is Rabbi Eliezer, against the Tana of the Brisa, Desanya. We learned Rabbi Eliezer, O Meshvua Shalokal Kikar Zuma Arvin Lo Ba, Kikar Zu Alai, Ein Ma Arvin Lo Ba. So we see explicitly that Rabbi Eliezer holds in this Brisa that only if he mentions Achila, and he's outspoken about Achila in the language of his Shvuah, only then is the heir of kosher. But if he says Kikar Zu Teyaser Alai, and he doesn't specify Achila, then he indicates that he wants to have a general all-encompassing Iser Neder on this Kikar, including even an Iser Anah, is therefore the Erev is invalid, and that's the Sheet of Rav Huna. The Gemara says, Umi Om Rabbi Eliezer Hachi, can you reconcile Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the Erev is invalid if a person takes an Iser upon himself, with another statement of Rabbi Eliezer, Vasanya? In a different price, it says Zaklal. As far as Erev is concerned, in a kikar, and then he took a neder, Adam Oser Atzmo Bi Ochel. Anytime a person says that he will not eat, and he takes a neder to that effect, then he prohibits the Maisachila. That is what contradicts the neder and violates it. And in such cases, Ma'arvin Lo Ba, even though through this Erev he will have Hanah, but Rashi explains that this Hanah is not through an action, he's not taking the Hanah for himself, he's merely setting up an Erev, and there's no action, there's no pu'ula of taking Hanah. But if he says, Ochal Anesa Loli Adam, if on the other hand he says, Kikar Zu Te'aser Alai, so it's not a case where he prohibited himself from a Maisa Achila, which is more like a Shvuah, which is what's called an Issa Gavra, but instead, he said, Ochal Nesar Lo, he says, Kikar Zute Aser Alai, that's a neder on the Cheftza of the Kikar, and he prohibits Hana, is Ein Ma'arvin Lo Ba. Fine. So that's the Tanakhama of this price. So we're interested now in Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, and he says, Omer, even in the case of Kikar Zo Alai, Ma'arvin Lo Ba. So even though he points to the Kikar, not to the action of Achila, and when he points to the Kikar, the Rabbanon, the Tanakhama, this price, say that's an all-inclusive Iser, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. And he says we should always assume that if a person says Kikar Zu Alai, then he only means to prohibit it in the main Hanah. The main primary Hanah is the category of Achila, but not Hanah, and therefore it's kosher for an Eruv. But only in the case of Kikar Zu Hegdesh, Ein Ma'arvin Lo Bolefish, Ein Ma'arv Megdeshos. So we see clearly that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Kikar Zu Te'aser Alai is kosher for an Eruv. And that's against Rabbi Eliezer that we quoted before in the previous Brisa that says that Kikar Zu Te'aser Alai Ein Ma'arvin Ba. And the answer is Treit Hanoi Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. There are two different traditions as to what Rabbi Eliezer actually held and what was his opinion about Kikar Zu Alai. Does it include an Iser Hanoi and invalidate the Eruv, or does it not include, and he only had in mind Achila? The Mishnah says, Ma'arvin bin Nazir b'yayin Yisrael b'truma, masnis in delo kebet shamay. Our Mishnah that validates an Erev for a Nazir with Yayin, or truma for Yisrael, is against Rabbi Shammai Desanya. We learned in the Brice Beit Shammai Omer, Ey ma'arvin l'nazir b'yayin Yisrael b'truma. You can only make an Erev Tchumen with something that is Mazen Shtei Sudas for this person who needs the Erev, who's establishing the Erev. Basil Omer Ma'arvin L'Nazir B'Yayin, because everybody else is allowed to drink the wine. Uli Yisrael B'Truma, because the Kohanim are allowed to eat the Truma. Omer Lehem Basil El Lebeit Shammai Iyatem Modim. Here we turn to Daf Lamed Omer Beis. Shema Arvin L'Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim. Now, wait a second. On Yom HaKippurim, nobody's allowed to eat. And the Torah says, V'nisim es nafshos seichem, we're enjoined and we have to afflict our body. And even though he is a gadol, meaning he's ben yud gimel shana, he has two saras, he's chayv in all mitzvah Torah, nevertheless, even though he can't eat this food on Yom HaKippurim, but the answer is a katan could eat the food. He's potter from the mitzvah of Nisan. So you see that if the machal, if the food is roy, is suitable for someone, then it's a valid eruv. So why do you tell me that I cannot set up an eruv if I'm a nazir with yayin? Somebody else could drink the wine, etc. Omalehem avol. You're right. Certainly an eruv, even for a boy, a young man who's 13 and up, on Yom HaKippurim is a valid eruv. And Beisil were right when they said that Beit Shammai would concede that you can set up an eruv for a gadol on Yom HaKippurim. And the reason for that is because ketanim could eat that food. They're not obligated in eating. But Amru Lahem, nevertheless, Beisil say, wait a minute, if you concede in that case, it's k'shem sh'amarvin l'gadol Yom HaKippurim, kach marvin l'nozim b'yayin u'lisol b'tshuma. Beit Shammai respond, hasav, in the case of Yom HaKippurim, ika se'uda ra'uya mi'bod yom. It means that when he enters into Yom HaKippurim, before the onset of Yom HaKippurim, he sets up his Erev Tchumen, and at that moment in time, it's a Suda Re'uya, he can eat that Suda. But Hacha, but here, in the case of Nyayin L'Nazir, Yisrael B'Truma, argue Beit Shammai, Leka Suda Re'uya Mipojo. In other words, the Nazir, even before we enter into Shabbos, cannot drink the wine. The Yisrael, at the moment, in the onset of Shabbos, he cannot eat the truma. And therefore, we don't have a suda ru'uya. So whereas Beis Hillel say that suda ru'uya means it's ru'uya l'acherim, that others could eat it. And therefore, nazir, yayin is good. Truma for Yisrael is a valid eruv. But Beit Shammai say, no, it's got to be valid as a suda ru'uya mibojom for the person who needs and sets up that eruv. So the Gemara says, Keman, this brisa that recorded the shita of Beit Shammai, that requires davar machal and a suda ru'uya, Keman, deloki Chananya. That's against Chananya. Why? The sanya, we learned in the brisa, Chananya, omer kol atzman, Shel Beit Shammai lo hayu modim bi eruv ad she yotzi mitasa v'chol klei tashmisha l'sham. In other words, before we got to Chananya, according to our tradition in the first brice that we've been studying until this point, Beit Shammai needs a suda re'uya, but as long as it's suda re'uya, that's all you need for an eruv. Go out there, chutz l'tchum, 2,000 am outside the city, set up Mazon Shtei Sudos as a Suda Re'uya Mibojom, and Beit Shammai would say that's a valid Eruv. Chananya has a totally different tradition in the Shita of Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai holds you have to set up for an Eruv your entire Dira, the whole kit and caboodle. Achi Yotzi Mitoso, you're going to have to take your bed out over there. Kol Klei Tashmisho, any Kalim that you'll need on Shabbos, L'Sham, to that place you want to call to Shvisa at the end of 2,000 Am away from his house. But other kinds of an Eruv, let's say, for example, Hiniach Mazon Shtei Sudos, or later on we'll have a sugya called Shvisa Baraglo, those are totally invalid. So that's a much more extreme transmission of the view of Beit Shammai. It's not enough that Beit Shammai requires a Su'uda Ra'uya Mibiljom, that I can eat the Suda at the onset of Shabbos, but I also have to set up my bed and my kelim, the whole 9 yards. Keman azo hadisanya. The Gemara wants to bring a brisa that reflects the shita of Chananya in his transmission of Beit Shammai. Erev bishchorim. He has different kinds of garments. He has black clothes and he has white clothes. So on Erev Shabbos, he went to the end of 2,000 Amo. He wanted to be Kona Shvisa, and he was wearing black clothes. And then he goes home, and the next day, he wants to go out Lo Yetze Bi Levonin. He wants to go out with white clothes. Now, he didn't have those white clothes at the onset of Shabbos in the place where he wanted to be Kona Shvisa, or the flip side, Bi Levonin, Lo Yetze B'Shchorim. is kemat. That a person has to bring all the kelim out on Erev Shabbos to be Kona Shvisa in that makom, any kelim that he'll need on Shabbos. And if he only took out the dark clothes, then he won't be able to set up an Eruv because he needs white clothes. So the Gemara asks the following question, V'chananya v'lechananya, according to Chananya, the person who went out on Erev Shabbos to be Kona Shvisa, and let's say he needed Begadim Levanim, but he was wearing Begadim Shchorim, is Beshchorim Hudelo Yetzal Belevanim Yetze. Wait a second, the Brisa that we just quoted, Keman Azla Hadusanya, says Lo Yetze Belevanim, that he's not allowed to go out Chutz L'Tchum based on that Erev with white clothes, because he wasn't Kona Shvisa with white clothes. But the implication is that with the other color, he can go out. Again, you have different options. And that's against Chananya. Omar Chananya says, Ad sheyotzi mitosu klei tashmisha l'sham, if he didn't bring all the kelim that he needs, both the white and the dark garments, then it's not an Erev at all. Whereas this price that we just quoted would say that the Erev is valid, but he can only walk out with those kelim that he was Kona Shvisa with those kelim, but not all the kelim that he wasn't Kona Shvisa. So Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, we have to reinterpret the Braisa, Erev Bilavonim v'hutzrach l'shchorim. It's not an Erev. Af Bilavonim lo yetze. Now it's even though he set up an Erev Bilavonim, he can't even walk out to the Tchum and rely chutz l'tchum on the Erev, even for Levonim, even though he was Kona Shvisa with Levonim Keman, and that reflects on Rav Nachman Yitzchok Chananya Yalibin Rav Beit Shammai. So the Mishnah tells us that Ma'arvin L'Nozer B'Yayin L'Yisrael B'Truma, even though it's not Roy Lehem, it's not suitable for them, but it's suitable for others. Sumchus Omer B'Chulin. Sumchus says that as far as a Yisrael is concerned, his Erev must be with Chulin, but not with Truma. Because Truma is not Roy L'Achila for that Ma'ariv. He's a Yisrael. What about Nazir L'Yayin? So the Gemara's Medayik from the transmission of our Mishnah in Sumchus, Ilu L'Nazir B'Yayin Lo Polig, Sumchus did not reject the Tanakama's view that an Eru for a Nazir with Yayin is valid. My Taima, where's the logic here? If Sumchus holds, as we saw in the case of Truma, that only an Eru B'Chulin is Roy for Zahar and non-Kohen, because you need an Erev and a Dovaroi Lachila Ma'arev Atzmo. So why was he Machsha the Erev of a Yayin to Nazir? And the Gemara answers, Efshal Mitchal Anizirusa. Because even Yayin for Nazir, in a theoretical conceptual world, is suitable for the Nazir. And how is that so? He, the Nazir, could go to a Chacham, and he could be Shoel Al Niziruso, and the Chacham will be Matir Yayin. So at the moment of the onset of Shabbos, when the Erev is Chal, which is Bein HaShmoshos, the Nazir at that moment in time could make that Yayin suitable for him. He's allowed to drink it by simply being Matir his Nazirus. And that's called Biyado L'Sakno. As long as it's Biyado L'Sakno, Sumchus holds, it's a valid Erev. But in the case of Truma for Yisrael, it's not Biyoda L'Sakno. There's no way that he can eat the Truma. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Yachli Truma Nami Afshad the Mitchal Iluye. The Halacha of Ataris Nidarim applies not only to Nazirus, but it equally applies to the case of Truma. If I was Mafresh Truma, I can come in front of a Chacham. I can tell him I regret that I was Mafresh this for Truma. And a Chacham could be Oker the Afrosha. And the whole Shem Truma is completely nullified and batel. Ha ha, says the Gemara, you missed the point. Imitshalai hado litivla. When he goes to the Chacham to be matir his Truma, then the Peros revert back to the state they were in, the legal state before the Afrosha, namely their Tevel. And Tevel is also Eino Roy L'Achila. and therefore the Erev is disqualified. So Bimanafsha. If he's not Shoel on his Hafrosh's Truma, then the Truma remains Truma Asura, and the Sumchus would say it's Asura, and therefore cannot be an Erev for the Ma'ariv who's not allowed to eat Truma. And if you're going to tell me, well, he could be Shoel, well, what happens if he's Shoel on his Hafrosh's Truma? The Truma now reverts back to its original state of Tevel, and it's again ain't a royal Achila, therefore the Erev is completely gone. So the Gemara asks, Lifrosh Alei Mimokom Acher, there is a possibility that he doesn't have to be Mafrish what's called Mineu Bei. In other words, he wants to get to the state where this Truma is Mutter for him, the Zar, the non-Kohen, to eat. What he could do is, he could take peros, which are tevel, that he has in his house, and he can mafresh them, and have in mind this truma. So in other words, he'll be shoel on his hafrashas truma, which means that the chacham will now remove the shame truma. Now the food will revert back to its state of tevel. That's not a problem, because he could always be mafresh mimokom acher. Which means that he could take fruits or grains elsewhere that are in his house and be mafrish for this particular tevel that he's using for his eruv. So Gemara rejects that. Lo nechshedu chaverim litrom shalom en amukav. Although b'di'evet it's true that the halacha validates a hafrosh shalom en amukav, but lechatchila, we're not allowed to do that. That's also, we're not allowed, midrabanan, to be mafrish truma mimokomach. We're afraid always that, you know, they might get mixed up and people eat tevel. So the Gemara asks, lifrosh alei mineu bei. So why can't he take this truma and be shoel on his truma, and the chacham will remove the shame truma? Now it becomes tevel. And it'll set aside part of that volume of fruits as truma. That's called Mineu Bei. Then he doesn't violate this Iser of Toreim Shalom and Amuka. And the Gemara answers the Les Bei Shiura. We're talking about a case where he has exactly Mazon Shtei Sudos, exactly, Betzimtzum, as we call it. And that's what he took out 2,000 Amma to Bikona Shvisa for his Erev Tchumin. And now, if he's going to be mafrish mineu bei, he's going to have to take out, subtract part of the fruits for truma, and he's left with less than mazon shtei sudos. So Gemara says, "My paske, are you telling me that the Tana wrote a case? He addressed a case in which Sumchus says ein ma'arvan liyisrael b'truma because he has exactly mazon shtei sudos?" You know, what are the statistical probabilities that would happen? That he doesn't have a little bit more, because again, for Truma, all you need is a chita achas poter sakriv, and a mashu is enough afroshes Truma. So that doesn't make any sense. Ella, now the Gemara comes to the punchline. Now we're going to reveal the true meaning of Sumchus. Savalei Karabanon against Rebbe, the Amri, they hold later on in Daf Lamed Dalet, called Dovashu Mishum Shmus, Gazra love Benash Marshos, which means that if the Rabbanan say you're not allowed to be Mafrish Trumas and Maestros the Shvus, that prohibits that on Shabbos, that applies even Benash Marshos. So there's no possibility Benash Marshos, with the onset of Shabbos, that he would be Shoel and Matir Neder on his Truma, because to be Matir Neder on your Truma during Benash Marshos is completely prohibited. And therefore, there's no possibility that he could, that Sumchus would upgrade the status of this Truma to a Suda Ru'ilo. So now the question is, well, what about Nazir? We were medayik from Sumchus that Nazir Yayin is a valid Eruv, because Bein HaShmoshes he could be shol on his Nazirus, and therefore he could drink the wine at Suda Ru'ilo. Wait a minute, Chachamim prohibit Hataras Nedarim on Shabbos, and therefore it should be also even Bein HaShemoshos. So the answer is, Tosus Dibur Maskel Ella establishes that if you are Matir and Neder Litzorech Shabbos, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. And here he's being Matir and Neder for the purpose of setting up his Eruv, and that would be permissible. The Gemara asks, Keman Azlahadis Nan, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, and we want to figure out who is the author of that Mishnah. Yesh She'omru HaKol Lefi Mashu Adam. There are certain Shiurim that, according to the Mishnah in Kelim, are subjective, meaning HaGadol Lefi Midosav, HaKotan Lefi Midosav. For example, Melo Kumtzo, right, the Kohen has to do in the Menachos what's called Kmitza. And the kmitza depends upon the size of his hand. If he has a larger hand, then his share of kometz is greater than someone who has a smaller hand. Or, for example, the Kohen Gadol is makt to the Ketores on Yom HaKippurim. There's something called Melo Chafnov. He has to dig in his two hands into the Ketores and take it into the Kodesh Kodashim and burn it there. And if the Kohen, meaning the Kohen Gadol, is got a larger set of hands, in any event, there's no objective shear. It's always subjective. Ashosa melo lugmav biyom haKippurim chayv chatos, and once again, it depends upon the size of your melo lugmav, meaning how much. If you're a very large person, you have like your og metal haboshin, then your lechayayim, your cheeks are very, very large. So melo lugmav for chayv chatos for violating Yom Kippur would require that you drink that larger volume. If you're smaller, umemazon shtei sudos li'eruv, as far as Erev Tchumen is concerned, mazon shtei sudos is relative. There's no set shear. Kiman, who is the author of this Mishnah in Masechta Kelim, that to evaluate what volume of food you need for shtei sudos for an Eruv, it depends on kol echad lefi shiuro. Sumchus was the one who insisted that for an Erev to be kosher, you need a suda ruya liatzmo for the ma'ariv himself. That's why he excluded truma in the case of a non-Kohen as far as the Erev is concerned. And therefore, it makes sense that when you want to evaluate what's the volume, how much constitutes shtei sudos, mother shtei sudos, for the Erev, it depends on the ma'ariv himself, because Sumchus puts all the emphasis on the ma'ariv. The Gemara says, Lema Pliga Ad Reb Shim Ben Elazar. Should we assume that this Mishnah that says Mazon Shtei Sudos depends upon every individual, how much food he would need, is Pliga Ad Reb Shim Ben Elazar? The Sanya Reb Shim Ben Elazar, Omer Ma'arvin L'chol El-Zakein Kidei Mizono. And that part of the statement of the Brice of Reb Shimon is very logical and fits in everything we're saying, that a Chol and a Zakein don't need that much food, and therefore, for them, it suffices to have Mazon Shtei Sudos for them, and it's again reflective of the subjective Ma'ariv. But then, look at the last part of Rav Shimon's statement in the Brayse. He says, Ula Ravton, someone who would not be satiated the way you and I would be with Mazon Shtei Sudos, is Su'uda Beinonis Shel Kol Adam. Nevertheless, the Erev is valid if it's the average size meal that would be satisfactory for you and I. And if we're saying that it depends upon the Ma'arev, then the Ma'arev, in this case, a Ravton, he would not be satiated by the Suda, Mazon Shtei Sudos, that you and I would. Is Tergama Acholo Zokin, Aval Ravton, Batla, Daito, Etzel Kol Adam. The Mishnah that says that we are Mashiach for every individual according to his needs, and what would be considered Mazon Shtei Sudos, that's only Achola and a Zokin. But as far as a Ravton is concerned, that he needs more food, we're going to say butler daitel so kolod. Nobody eats that much food. L'kohen bebeis hapras, you can set up an Erev on behalf of a Kohen. If you put the food in a sada beis hapras, that's a sada where they lost the corpse. They don't know where the corpse is buried. So the Gemara says, how could it be that this Erev is valid? In what context and in what scenario would the Erev be accessible to the Kohen? He's not allowed to go into a Beis HaKavaros. Diom Rabbi Yudom HaShmuel, Menapeach Adam Beis HaPras V'Holech. That a Kohen is allowed to bend down on the floor, and as he takes a step forward, he blows the ground to make sure that there are no bones of a corpse, and he's allowed to go through a Beis HaPras. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ami Mishmei De Rabbi Yudom Ar Beis HaPras Shenidosh Torah. The Gemara gives another opportunity, another possibility where a Kohen could be Ma'ariv in a Beis HaPras. And that is Nidosh. Nidosh means that after a certain amount of time, when people stomp on the, you know, they step on these, on the ground of the Beis HaPras, we finally assume after a certain period of time that all the Atzamos were crushed. And therefore you don't have what's called an Etzem Kisa'ora, and it's not Metame. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa that you can be Metame to Kohen after Beis HaKvaros. How is it possible that a Kohen could have access to his Eruv in a Beis HaKvaros? In a Beis HaPras, we had a solution. Is Tanam if Neshiyachal Lachot Velelech Beshida Teva Umigdal. He can actually travel through a Beis HaKvaros by being surrounded by mechitzos, so that he never actually goes over the kever. So let's say, for example, the Eruv is situated, Muslim state suit is between two kvarim, he can actually have access by traveling through this large wagon, a teva shido omigdal. Kasava, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Oel Zaruk, Shmei Oel, that even an Oel, which is temporary in nature, and it moves from place to place, that's called an Oel Zaruk, is nevertheless considered an Oel, and therefore it's Chotzeis Bein Adam, it's a Chatzitza between a person who's inside that Oel Zaruk and the tumor that's outside the Oel, but that in fact is Plukta Dani Tanoi. So the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda in our Machlokas is equivalent to a Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe in the following brisa, the Sanya, we learned in a brisa with regard to Tumas Eretz Amin, Hanichnas Eretz Amin, B'shida Tevel Migdal, Rebbe Metame. Rebbe says that this Shida, since it's on the move, is not a Chatzitza B'fnei Atuma, and therefore he's considered Mahil al Eretz Amin, he's Tame. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Metayer, and Rabbi Yossi says he's Tar, the Maikom Miflegi, Mar Savar Oel Zarek Lav Shmei Oel. According to Rebbe, an oel that's moving is not considered an oel, and therefore it's not a chatzitza b'fnei atuma, and he's talmei tumas eretz ha'amimim. Umar sovereign Rabbi Yossi holds, oel zarek shmei org oel, even though it's in motion, nevertheless it still has the status of an oel, and it's chotzitz b'fnei atuma, and therefore it's possible to set up an eruv on behalf of a Kohen, in a Beis HaKvaros, because the Kohen could get access to his Eruv, to his food, by traveling through a Teva, a large wooden Teva, some sort of a wagon, because Oel Zaruk is Shmei Oel, and therefore it's Chotzeitz B'fnei HaTumah. The Tanakhama holds that Oel Zaruk Eino Nechshav Oel, and therefore it's not a Chotzeitz, and therefore the Eruv would not be valid because he has no possibility of getting access to his food. So we're going to stop here on the bottom of Daf Lamed Amid Beis, and we're up to Veha Disanya. Thank you very much.